This is a different kind of tiredness. I think a lot of us live with this tiredness without knowing what's happening. We may be doing all the right things to help us sleep, but we wake often during the night. And in the morning, when we wake up, we feel like we've worked all night long.
Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol, and Tammy is here with me. And we wonder if you've ever felt like this.
I'm sure we all get tired, but this does sound like a different kind of tiredness, doesn't it? Marty, thanks for coming to talk with us today.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
Marty is a counselor who works with people suffering from all kinds of problems. How are you, Marty?
Well, this morning, I'm feeling really tired, and that's exactly what I want to talk about.
Too many late nights?
No, Tammy. This tiredness has nothing to do with late nights. It's called trauma tiredness.
Trauma tiredness? Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, at the moment, I'm living in a city where we've had some terrible earthquakes that have been very frightening.
I've heard about those terrible earthquakes. There seem to be a lot of natural disasters lately in many different countries. Hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, and floods, and in some places, very bad forest fires.
You're right. Many people have been badly affected by these disasters. In my work as a counselor, I've had many people saying to me, "I'm just so tired, and I don't understand why."
So is this what you call trauma tiredness?
Yes. People who have been through disasters often experience it. But it also happens when we live with frightening things happening to us on an individual basis.
I can understand how we might feel tired when a disaster is happening to us and we can't sleep. But you seem to be talking about tiredness that goes on after the disaster has finished.
Well, that's the real problem. How do we know if that disaster has finished? When might it happen again?
Okay, now I see what you're talking about. So have the earthquakes stopped yet?
Well, we're not sure, and that's the trouble. The big ones destroyed many homes and office buildings and killed some people. But every day there's been aftershocks.
That's not good.
No, it isn't. And what happens is that we learn ways to protect ourselves from danger. So when we've been through a disaster, our body continues to keep watch for us.
That sounds useful. Your body staying on guard.
That's exactly right. God has made our bodies with this built-in safety system called fear. When we feel fear, our body produces a special hormone that gets us ready to either fight off the danger, run away to safety, or stay completely still. That hormone is called adrenaline. We call this our fight, flight, or freeze response.
Let me make sure I understand that. If I'm out at night in the dark and something gives me a fright, my body produces adrenaline. My heart starts beating fast and I breathe quickly.
Exactly. Your heart and lungs are working together to give you extra energy to run or to fight or to stay very still.
Today, we have Marty, a counselor, who's telling us about trauma tiredness. So, Marty, what does trauma tiredness actually mean?
Usually when we sleep, the fear system closes down. Our body relaxes, our heartbeat slows, and we fall into a deep sleep. However, when we've been in danger, sometimes this fear system doesn't close down. I noticed that since the big earthquake, I wake at night with my heart racing. I know that my ears have heard a sound that reminds me of that quake. So without me realizing it, my body has made me ready to run or to fight or to freeze. It may have just been a loud truck rumbling past outside, or perhaps the wind blowing and rattling the window.
But this doesn't just happen at night, does it?
No, it doesn't just happen at night. It happens in the day, too, but I can calm myself in the day. When I feel myself tense at the rumble of a truck, I calmly say to myself, it's all right. It's not a quake. It's just a truck. And my heartbeat will slow, and my breathing slows, and my body returns to normal again.
So do you say that to yourself at night, too?
I say something like that. But the problem is, I'm now fully awake, ready for action, and it takes a long time to get back to sleep. When this happens a few times in the night, I do wake feeling like I've worked hard all night, because my body has worked hard. And even in the day, it's tiring when our body is constantly on guard. Each time we jump and feel that fear, our body's flooded with the hormone adrenaline to get us into action. That's tiring too, but the waking at night is harder. It becomes a habit that's very hard to break.
I heard about someone who had been in a number of different disasters over a short time. She felt so fearful that she decided to sleep in her clothes, ready to get up and run when the next one hit.
She must have been exhausted.
Marty, you said that personal trauma can also cause this to happen.
Yes, it can. Let me tell you about my friend Rosa. She was talking to me not long ago about her tiredness. I asked her why she thought this tiredness had taken over her body, and this is what she said. For me, it comes from my childhood. My dad got drunk a lot, and when he came home drunk at night, he'd pull me out of bed because I was the oldest. If he was angry about something, he'd hit me and push me around. She told me that she became good at listening for his footsteps, and she could tell from the sound whether he was in a bad mood or not. So if she ran to her sister's room, he wouldn't come for her, so that was her safe place.
Oh, poor Rosa. Sadly, that's not an uncommon story.
No, it's not. And she told me that even now that she's an adult and doesn't live at home, the habit of listening at night for danger stays with her. For many years, it meant she woke feeling tired and had to drag herself into the day. She said her ears are still trained to hear that footstep sound, and she still often wakes if there's a sound like it. Sometimes now, though, it's just her teenagers getting home late.
That's a long time for her to still be waking, all those years. Has she tried anything to stop the habit?
I asked her that same question, and she said it does happen less now than it used to. There was a period of time when she took sleeping pills to help, but she decided to talk to a counselor about what happened when she was a child, and she learned to live with it more easily now. That doesn't mean her body has stopped keeping guard, but now it only happens a few times in a month. She finds that now when she wakes, she just uses that time to pray, which is very soothing and helps her get back to sleep.
So, Marty, do you take anything to help you sleep?
I don't want to take a sleeping pill because the danger isn't past yet. We're still having aftershocks, so I may need to run to safety. I've tried some natural sleep aids, herbal sleeping remedies. But now when I wake, I will often pray too. Or sometimes I write, or sometimes I read. And that helps me relax and go back to sleep. If the danger has been only for a short time, we're able to turn off that fight, flight, or freeze response and start to rest properly. But sometimes this switch has been on for too long, so it's harder to turn it off. Just like my friend Rosa. She still struggles with it at times after so many years.
It would be good to have a simple off switch to flick when danger is past, wouldn't it?
It's interesting that you say that, Tammy, because normally our body does have an off switch. And you can train yourself to use it. Control your breathing, slow it down, and concentrate on remembering that you're safe now. This stops that fear response in your body from going on and on.
Tell us how you do that, Marty.
The first thing is to recognize that you're fearful. What would be the first warning sign for you? It's often your heart beating fast, or feeling you can't get your breath, or feeling sick in your stomach, or maybe just being tense. When you feel that happening, say to yourself, stop, breathe, and then take some slower, deeper breaths. You can even count them if you like. Say in, two, three, out, 2, 3. In, 2, 3. Out, 2, 3.
It's been really interesting to hear about this today, Marty. You and your friends' very different situations have left you both experiencing similar trauma tiredness. Friend, I wonder if you have ever experienced this yourself.
You might be suffering from trauma tiredness because of some other kind of disaster or a personal situation that you have no control over, like Marty's friend. Maybe you could go and talk to a trusted friend or a counselor about it, as she did. Someone who can help you to work through the problem and learn how to turn off that switch that keeps your body on guard all the time.
I hope that what we've talked about together today has helped you to understand why you feel so tired. Just understanding the reason can sometimes help. And maybe you can try doing what both Marty and her friend do. When you wake, you can pray. Pray for others, for family members or friends, and you might find that this calms your body too. Thanks, Marty. We'll look forward to you coming back and talking to us again another time.
Thank you for having me. It's been good to share this with you.
We have another new friend with us today on Women of Hope. Flo has come to tell us a little true story about her granddaughter. Welcome, Flo. How nice that you could come and join us today.
Thanks, Carol and Tammy, and hello to you. Now, if you're a grandmother, you'll appreciate this story, and if you're not, I'm sure you can imagine what it would be like. About 3 years ago, our eldest granddaughter, Alia, was staying overnight. She was then 5. Alia's mother had told her not to wake Nana until after 7 in the morning. Being very obedient, she woke early, watched the clock, and as the hands moved towards 7, she crept into our room and patted me. "Nana, can I have a snuggle?" "Of course you can," I answered, with a little yawn. After making herself very comfortable, she lay perfectly still, so I was just dozing when she spoke again. "Nana, I have been very worried about something." So I said, as Nanas do, "Oh, darling, Nana doesn't like you to worry. Would you like to tell me what's wrong?" She then said in a very matter-of-fact voice, "Oh, it's okay now, Nana, because I've worked it out." I was very curious, but I let her take her time to see if she wanted to say any more. Then when she did, she took me completely by surprise. "Nana, I couldn't work out why it is that I love you so much." After gulping back my tears, I said, "And why do you think that is, darling?" "Oh, Nana, that's easy. It's because you love me so much." Immediately my mind flew to a special part of God's Word, the Bible. We chatted for a while and I told her, "You know, that's just the way it is with God. The only reason we can truly love God is because of how much He first loved us and continues to love us." So we talked about the ways He has shown us His love in creation, in family, in life itself, but most especially in giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. Later, we sat together and we read that special part from God's Word. Would you like me to read it to you? It comes from a letter that John, a disciple of Jesus, wrote to encourage the followers of Jesus. He spent a lot of time with Jesus and is sometimes called the one whom Jesus loved. It's from the first letter of John, chapter 4, and this is what he said. "My dear friends, we must love each other. Love comes from God, and when we love each other, it shows that we have been given new life. We are now God's children and we know Him. God is love, and anyone who doesn't love others has never known Him. God showed His love for us when He sent His only Son into the world to give us life. Real love isn't our love for God, but His love for us. God sent His Son to be the sacrifice by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, since God loved us this much, we must love each other. John then went on to write some more important things to Jesus' followers. Let me read you a little bit more. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is truly in our hearts. And we love God because God loved us first.
Oh, Flo, thank you for sharing that precious story with us. Your granddaughter was very wise in what she said, wasn't she? She is so certain that you love her because you show her your love in the things that you do. In the same way, God shows us his love in so many ways, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, he does. And because God loved me first and gave his son Jesus for me, I want to worship him and say thank you to him. Because being loved by God is just so amazing. How difficult it must have been for the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man, to come and live and die among people like us who rejected him. It makes me want to fall down before him in worship and praise. Let's pray together. Father God, Creator of heaven and earth, thank you for who you are and for your great plan of salvation that began before you created the world. Thank you for loving us so that we can love you in return. Father, help us to know you better so that we can appreciate the wonder of your love for us, so we can love you more and serve you with true hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, it's been good to be together today, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. We've learned from Marty about trauma tiredness and how we produce adrenaline for the fight, flight, or freeze response.
Yes, in a very real disaster or a traumatic situation that is out of our control, our body turns on this hormone switch that gets us ready to either run away, stay and fight, or keep completely still.
But the hard part is turning off that switch once the disaster or trauma is over.
Did you notice that both Marty and her friend said that when they wake in the night, they pray? That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I often do that too. And when I pray, I start to think of all the things I want to thank God for, and then the people I want to pray for. It takes my mind off myself. But of course, I must also ask God to calm me down and help me go back to sleep.
And then we heard from Flo about how much God loves us. And just like her granddaughter who said to her, "Nanny, I love you because you love me so much." We can tell God we love him because he loves us so much. So rest in God's love and know that he wants the best for your life. Whatever you're going through, there is hope.
We have to go now. We'd love for you to tell us your story, and you can do that by writing to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's twrwomenofhope@twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope you will be with us again. Have a great week filled with God's blessings.